The Babington plot was the third major Catholic conspiracy to overthrow Elizabeth's rule and place Mary, Queen of Scots, on the English throne. Walsingham was aware that Mary's supporters would find a way to contact her and to plot their next scheme. Seeking once and for all to implicate Mary, Walsingham cleverly devised a scheme to intercept letters going to and from Mary. The plan was fairly simple. A local businessman delivered beer barrels to Pult, one of Mary's supporters, who stuffed them with outgoing mail from Mary. From there, the businessman would deliver the letters to Gifford, who Mary assumed was loyal to her, but who was actually working for Walsingham. Gifford was to pass the letters on to another conspirator, Thomas Philippe, who would decipher and return them to Gifford. Gifford would then deliver these deciphered letters to the French embassy. This clever operation enabled Walsingham to allow the plot against Elizabeth to unfold and to gather the evidence he needed to persuade Queen Elizabeth once and for all of Mary's treachery. As Walsingham put it in a letter to Robert Dudley, "So long as that devilish woman lives neither, Her Majesty must make account to continue in quiet possession of her crown, nor her faithful servants assure themselves of safety of their lives." Mary's disdain for Walsingham was no less venomous. In August 1574, she wrote to the Archbishop of Glasgow, referring to Walsingham as "my mortal enemy." Walsingham wrestled with how far to let a plot to murder the Queen develop before arrests were made, as well as the question of how best to protect Elizabeth without tilting his hand to the conspirators. Letting a plot develop allowed greater chance that a treasonous link at higher levels of court could be found, and the greatest prize would be incontrovertible evidence of Mary, Queen of Scots' own treachery. Walsingham had experienced difficulties in thwarting previous plots against the Queen. As he wrote in his notebooks after the Throckmorton plot, "Her Majesty's strange dealings in this case will discourage honest ministers that are careful for her safety to deal in the discovery of the sores of this diseased state." After the Throckmorton plot was exposed, Walsingham resolved that next time he would hold all the strings and no arrest would be made until he was ready. The extent of control and surveillance that Walsingham achieved over Mary's agents and what would come to be known as the Babington Plot was remarkable and completely unprecedented. He had learned his lessons from the previous plots and now wanted to eliminate the rival queen. Her presence in England gave hope to dangerous underground Catholics and encouraged threats from abroad. Walsingham relied heavily on Bernard Maud, one of his many slightly disreputable agents. However, Maud had little success, and the assignment of infiltrating into Mary's inner circle was passed on to Gilbert Gifford. Gifford had been a member of a formerly wealthy Catholic family in England. He had credibility with the mostly Catholic plotters, and he had also done a stint in prison under the order of Walsingham to gain even greater credibility among the anti-Elizabethan plotters. When Mary sent for the opinion of Thomas Morgan, a prominent Catholic imprisoned in the Bastille in Paris, Morgan gave his word that Gifford was an honorable man and a good Catholic. Another English secret agent, Nicholas Burden, was stationed in the Bastille and verified to Walsingham that Gifford was not under suspicion by the Catholic conspirators. Having family in the area, Gifford visited Chartley Hall, where Mary was held under house arrest, and spoke with her about undertaking responsibility for transporting her letters along their most dangerous routes. He proposed that he personally carry the letters from Chartley Hall to London, where they could be carried by the French ambassador to Paris and beyond. In order to get his hands on the messages away from the suspicious eyes of her captor, Sir Amias Paulet, Gifford proposed bribing the town brewer, an honest man, he said, who allegedly supported their cause. At the brewer's, Gifford would roll the letters, place them into watertight cylinders, and drop them through the bunghole into barrels of ale intended for Chartley Hall. Mary would only need to have a servant bring her the barrel. When she wished to write back, Mary's replies were dropped back into the empty barrels, which were then recycled back to the brewers where Gifford would bring them along to London. Mary was delighted with the idea of the new system. She had a willing and clever messenger to deliver sensitive material to and from her home at Chartley Hall. Gifford's loyalty was endorsed by a trusted friend, and Mary had great faith that the barrel scheme would evade the close monitoring of her guard. As an initial test, Mary sent an innocuous message with Gifford and was so pleased with the results, she immediately instructed Mauvissiere to send along the past few months of letters which had piled up in the wake of Throckmorton's arrest. Little did Mary know, Gifford's true plan included rushing the letters to Sir Thomas Philippe, a nobleman and friend of Walsingham, who specialized in breaking codes. Philippe had been involved in unraveling previous plots and used his familiarity with Mary's ciphers to his advantage. Within a few days, Philippe could copy, decode, and reseal the letters in a way so that no one would suspect they had even been opened. Gifford then took the letters with all possible speed to Ambassador Mauvissiere at the French embassy in London. It was also ironic that Walsingham's overseer of the scheme was none other than Paulette. Paulette also occasionally bribed the honest brewer for a look at those same letters just to be sure that neither Gifford nor anyone else was playing a double game. Thanks to the codebreaker's considerable skill and speed, the letters arrived on time without arising any suspicion. It was through this intricate deception that Walsingham managed to gather all the evidence he needed to prove a massive Catholic plot implicating Mary, the French, the Spanish, and the Vatican.